you enjoying French culture, news and current affairs? Maybe you are learning French. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/SBS French or on Twitter where we are at SBS French. A bientôt.
On a le plaisir aujourd'hui d'avoir là au studio la divine Justine Scofield. Bonjour Justine.
Bonjour Christophe.
Alors on va faire une interview, alors on va la faire en franglais.
Franglais.
On va essayer des mots en français, des mots en anglais.
C'est mieux pour moi.
C'est
parce
mieux pour
que
toi.
Je parle un petit peu le français comme une vache espagnole.
Et ça va déjà bien. Hein. Vous venez nous voir parce que vous venez nous présenter. C'est un nouveau livre.
Ouais.
C'est votre premier livre. Ça s'appelle Dinner with Justine.
Absolutely, ouais. It's my first book. It's been 8 years I've been wanting to do the book and I finally decided to finally put all my recipes, all the recipes that I grew up with, ma mère française, alors j'ai tout plein de recettes françaises. So yeah, so I'm just sort of put it finally together. It's all easy recipes. C'est très simple.
Elles ont l'air, en tout cas, mais en tout cas, c'est l'air succulent, mouth-watering.
Yeah.
If we go through, there's a good section, actually, I loved at the beginning. It's your cook's notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important to start a book with some cook's notes. And there's things that are may sound very simple, but they are very important. You know, always pay attention to flavors.
Mm.
Have fun. Mm. That was important for you to have this at the start?
Always, yeah. I think flavor is the key to cooking, obviously, and to get flavor you need good produce, you know, eating with the seasons. I've always been taught eating with the seasons is the way to get flavor, and it just means you don't have to mask the food in so many different sauces all the time, or you know, other flavors. Just let the ingredient shine if you use season. So for example, right now I would never ever cook asparagus. I wait for spring, when they're plentiful, when they're at a good price, when they're actually produced in Australian soil. That's when I would use fresh produce, you know, seasonally, and it'll always taste better.
I rest my case because I'm the same with garlic and asparagus.
Yeah.
I hate when it's coming outside. We can make these things here.
You know? I know, exactly. When you can get it here, use it, except for, you know, foie gras and champagne.
This is very different.
This is very different.
Absolutely. You've got some big call in it. You talk about the best ever crème caramel.
Ooh,
how
oui,
do you make the crème caramel, the humble crème caramel, the best ever?
Alors pour moi, une crème caramel, il n'y a pas de crème.
D'accord.
Dedans le crème caramel. Crème caramel has to have just milk. If you put cream in it, for me, I think it's a brûlée. Different schools of thought. I know a lot of chefs will be like, mais non, sacre bleu. But for me, it's the way it's done classically is just with milk. Why? I like the taste of it because it's lighter. It's not so rich. And of course, you've got the caramel. I think the caramel shouldn't be blonde. It should be a dark color so you get the bitter sweetness from it to cut through the sugar. And mine always works.
People are telling you it's the best ever.
I have tested it many times.
Yeah.
And my mother has tested it many times. And I think...
have you got the mother's tick of approval?
Yes, absolutely. And this recipe that she does, you know, she got from a book, a very, very old French book. And, you know, obviously we've adapted it over time. And so now it's one of our family recipes. And I think that's how food works. We're all just recreating and going... you know, not reinventing the wheel, but just recreating different recipes that we've grown up on.
Yeah, what's your mum thinking about the book? 7-8 years in the making. We can still talk about MasterChef because
you're
still on Channel 10 anyway, so we can still talk about MasterChef. It's coming up.
Yeah.
Pretty proud, mum?
Yeah, she's very proud. Yes, I did see a tear in her eye. She was very...
She's always good, actually.
She's a very proud mum. But yeah, so I've been filming my TV show, Everyday Gourmet, and she's actually, for the first time, my mother is coming on the show.
Appearing on screen.
I know, about time. And she'll obviously be doing something very French.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so and it has been, well, it's going to be the season 9 of MasterChef, I think. think. Yeah. I can't keep up anymore. And I have been wanting to do one for so long. I just haven't got around to it, just being busy with my other commitments. So,
life,
exactly. And the other show that my show, my little baby, I like to call it, Everyday Gourmet, we've been filming that for 6 years, but we do 90 episodes a year. So it's a lot to film. So by the time you've written 200 recipes for one show, then you have to write another 80 for a book. It's a lot of recipe writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I've done it now, and it's worth it just to have it in my hands, this book. I'm very proud of it.
That was my next question. How proud of you? Are you actually holding? It's not a PDF anymore.
No.
It's actual product physically in your hands.
It's
and
printed.
Actually in mine as well.
I know. I like the smell. Just smelling it right now. I love the smell of books. And I just love to see my recipes, you know, the images of how I like to cook it and how I like to present it in the book. So, very, very happy with it.
Absolutely. You make les choux de Bruxelles look sexy, the Brussels
sprouts.
Oh, yeah. That's hard in itself.
Absolutely. I love how you've mentioned that recipe because it's very, it's a dish that in Normandy, they would eat it there, you know, a lot of cream, little bit of apples in there. And, you know, Brussels sprouts can be bitter. It's just cooking it the right way. So, of course, cream makes everything wonderful. A little bit of butter and a little bit of speck is really nice in there.
Okay. Mm. You've got a whole section dedicated to chocolate.
Oh, of course, chocolat. You can never forget about the chocolate. And, I just think, who doesn't like chocolate, right? There's not many of us who don't like chocolate.
I don't think I've met anyone that actually doesn't like chocolate.
Yeah, and there's many different types of chocolate recipes. My favourite would have to be the trifle with a combination of the berries in there and, you know, different layers of chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, different textures of chocolate. It's definitely a celebration dish, that one.
It must have been really hard to actually make a selection for the chocolate category. There's so many things we can do with chocolate. I mean, everything is delicious with chocolate. How
absolutely.
Do you make a selection on it?
I think I chose, first of all and foremost, what I like to eat with chocolate.
That's a good start.
Yes, absolutely. Like chocolate fudge, flourless cake. I have a recipe that works really well and it's hard to stuff up, as I'd like to say. So I put in there. And I think a lot of the recipes I did choose are easy. They're not intimidating. And I think that's why I always like to emphasize I am a cook. I'm not a chef. I want my food to be easy for people to make at home every day. So I don't want this book to just be in the shelf with the rest of them. I want you to be using it on your bench saying, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Oh, let's make a little, quinoa salad, or let's make the pasta with the lamb shanks. There are so many different recipes that can be made tonight. And also there's a combination of things that, you know, coming into winter, a lot of slow cooking, which I'm very passionate about. I love old school slow cooking too. So all of these dishes are not complicated and they're very easy to follow.
And we can say it's a book that belongs in the kitchen and not on the coffee table.
Spot on. Yeah. Spot on. That's exactly how you should say it.
Question about yourself in 10 years or 9 years down MasterChef. I think if we look at the history of MasterChef, the people that came out of MasterChef that are still around are not the winners.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of shows that there are good cooks across that competition, not just the winners.
Absolutely. I mean, I came fourth on MasterChef season one, and I never expected to have such a lottery in this career that has just been so fantastic for me. I've been very, very lucky. Of course, hard work is involved, but I feel like a winner anyway. And it just shows, you know, just because you come forth doesn't mean that you can't go on and do amazing things, and your dreams can come true. And everyone says that. It's kind of cliche to say dreams can come true. But really, it was an absolute phenomenal stepping stone to do things like a catering business, to write a book, to have my own cooking show. I'm still pinching myself. I can't believe I'm on TV every afternoon. It's quite formidable, as we would say, that I get to cook for people and teach people the food that I grew up on and the way that I like to eat too. And I think that touches on the French heritage that I'm very passionate about, showing people how I eat and why I eat the way I eat. And the French way, I find, is the best way, if I may be biased.
I'm biased too.
Yes.
We all biased here, so that's no problem. If you had a quick word for the little Justine, the 10-year-old Justine, and, you know, going through school, what could you tell her?
Ah, there's so many things. don't party so much. Work harder. I think come out of your shell, do what you want to do, and just take a risk. Because before MasterChef, I don't think I have ever taken a risk. I did the right things, finished high school, made sure I went to uni, and that's all very important. But sometimes just take yourself out of your comfort zone, take yourself out of the square box, and you'll see some pretty amazing things are out there to push yourself to do things that you never thought you could do, because it can happen. And that's what I did. I made myself so uncomfortable doing this show, which was so foreign to me, and I didn't enjoy, you know, not knowing what I'm doing and being out of control, that, you know, doing that made me a more confident person.
Okay. And then one last question. Throughout your personal life, you travel a lot to the US.
Mm.
Is that going to, do you think, influence your cooking? Because the food in the US, there's everything and nothing in between.
I know.
So it's a whole land in itself in terms of food.
It's a big stew pot over there. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about melting pot.
Melting pot, absolutely.
Does that mean, do you think that's going to impact on your vision of food?
I mean, when I was finishing this book, I was in America and I did change some of the recipes around. There's an American style chopped salad, and I really loved how they chopped everything quite finely with finesse to make a salad. So every morsel you'll have, you have got all of the flavors in the salad. I thought that's a great idea. So that was even that has inspired one of the recipes in Dinner with Justine. It will influence. It's like anything. When I travel to France, I always take so many different ideas. I've always got my phone out and, you know, writing a little idea. Oh, that vinaigrette tasted nice. I love how they put the tamarind paste in it. Or I love how, did the red wine sauce like this. So I'm always thinking, and I think that's what travel does to you. It broadens your repertoire of recipes. Whether you're in LA, whether you're in New York, whether you're in Paris or Bordeaux, there are, you know, many different areas that...
Or Wodonga, for that matter.
Or Wodonga. I've been out to country New South Wales and learnt some amazing things about food and produce. So, you know, you never stop learning with food, and that's why I love it.
Absolutely. That was Justine with her book, Dinner with Justine. Thank you, Justine. It was lovely having you back on SBS.
Anytime.
SBS en français. Partagez nos rubriques sur Facebook.